Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. Please enjoy this classic clip, which is available in full at patreon.com/Steel Wars.
From memory, you were there for the announcement of that the prequel was going to get made.
Yes, I was. It was at Skywalker Ranch.
Tell us about that.
That was the first Star Wars summit in November 94, and where Lucasfilm gathered all the licensees worldwide, and it was about to talk about new product development and storyline development, book development. So there was authors, anyone connected with Star Wars was there, and it was at the Skywalker Ranch Studios. And they've got Lucas has built a beautiful Art Deco cinema. It's about 450-seater cinema, so we're always sitting there. And I was sitting right next to Rick McKellen too. And Lucas had made the announcement that he just started writing the prequels, and also announced the special editions. And
so, did you know he was going to make that announcement?
No, none of us. This was total new news. It was kept for the Star Wars Summit. That was where it first came out. So it was quite a moment to be there. I was actually standing 3 foot away from Lucas when he talked about all this. So it was like a wow moment, a real wow moment. And Lucas also said, "Look, we've also got a treat for you. ILM have been working on a new scene with Jabba the Hutt and Han Solo." And it was Jabba the Hutt, and he showed that whole sequence. It wasn't the voice dialogue, it was just the visual, and it was just amazing to see Han Solo walk around Jabba, step on his tail, and step over, and there was Jabba. So, it was wow, because the technology was there to do it then. So, yeah, on so many levels, that was just, you know, it was like going to Mecca.
Yeah,
it was almost a religious experience because, you know, you've got the man himself saying, yeah, I'm making a new Star Wars movie. I started writing and there's going to be Star Wars special editions and we've got some new footage to show you. It was like too much.
Yeah. That's
but in a good way.
Yeah. That's like it's hard to write a better bit of fan fiction. Well,
and you're at Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah.
At the same time. You know, you're there for a 3-day Star Wars summit, so you're really talking with all the licensees. And what was good about that is a lot of the licensees were nerding up themselves. One of the publishers, major publishers, I think it was Delray Books, the lady who headed the book development for that company, dressed as Princess Leia, and she gave a presentation. So it was, you know, it was really good. And there was a whole huge...
Did she do it via hologram?
No, not quite. But yeah,
not much of a fan.
But there is a fun part to it at the Skywalker sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is there a fun part to this story?
Totally.
Because the first part of it sounded miserable.
Well, it gets better. As a treat, Lucasfilm put on a party in the evening at the Skywalker sound studios. And they built a cantina, the whole cantina sequence. And they got a lot of the ILMers to dress up in costume. And Don Bees said, I think you should dress up as an Imperial officer and we'll have a squadron of stormtroopers and your job is to really harass people coming in to the sound studio. Just have attitude, be Nazi, give people a rough time, but in a good sort of fun way, but don't harass George. Leave George alone. And so George came through and, you know, it was all fun. And I stopped and arrested Gordon Radley, who's head of Lucasfilm. I had no idea who he was. And he's an untouchable. But I'm there going through his wallet and pinning him against the wall. I've got the stormtroopers putting guns on him. And all these, like, office girls are taking photos. I think it's hilarious. And Don said, only you could have done that, Joe. And I said, why? He said, that's Gordon Radley. He's head of Lucasfilm. I should have told you, don't touch him either.
sounds like one of those, you know, they do those studies in, they'll get a group of friends or school children, they'll make some the prisoners and some the guards. And just how they get It seems like you really fell into that a little bit too quickly.
Well, maybe. But, you know, what was fun about that, you see, we're wearing the original costumes from the movie. So I'm wearing Mark Hamill's boots from Jedi and Imperial officer's outfit. So, yeah, it was easy to be in character.
And you guys were talking before we started the podcast, you're looking through the costumes book, and that you guys went... I'm gathering from your conversation that you had a day of just going through the archives.
We had three days.
3 days.
That was in 83. We went over for the San Fran...
In 83?
No, 93. Oh, okay. Sorry. 93. We went over to the States for 4 weeks. So part of it was to go to the San Fran Worldcon, and Don Beese invited us to the ranch and to the archive building, because Don was the archivist at that time, so he was looking after all the models, the costumes, the matte paintings, everything.
He kind of owed us one, because we introduced him to his future wife, who was on our committee at the convention, but anyway.
Yeah, and yeah, she was a Star Walking committee member.
God, I can't believe you nerd pimps.
Anyway, yes.
Handing out girls for Skywalker Ranch invitations.
But yeah, you know, like that costume book you're there, we actually, you know, like that Princess Leia, we actually held it up and you know, Darren got suited up in an Imperial office.
That's what you have to do. You see your outfits and you go, I've got to...
And we were allowed to do it.
I was talking about the Imperial Empire, really, and suddenly there's an Imperial officer uniform there, so I've got to put that on.
And you're picking up...
There's a Stormtrooper suit laying on the ground. It's like, I've got to put that on, and yeah.
And you're picking up Luke Skywalker's binoculars and looking through them, and all this sort of stuff. So we're allowed to interact with the costumes, and so we did. And we took photos and slides.
Yeah.
We got them all.
We took a video as well. Unfortunately, we didn't have digital video back then, so we didn't have digital cameras either. So these days, you take a lot more footage. Mm. But it was the best we could do with what we had. But and of course, the archives were in a bit of a disarray at the time, because a lot of the good stuff, the big stuff, was over in Japan for the big exhibition in Japan. So there was just stuff everywhere, but all the best stuff was in Japan. But still, there was heaps left over for us to look at.
Now, we hear about the archives and the ranch so much. Like, what is the room? What is it like? What is it like? Is it like a very well maintained, like museum, or is it a shed?
It's an oversized shed. It's a big.
I've got one vision, whether it's just like just shit piled everywhere, and another that it's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's a bit of both, actually.
Bit of both, yeah.
Because it ripped bits out to take overseas. There were some aisles that did have junk in them, but for the most part, it's all just full of shelves, like a large warehouse, really.
It's a barn. It's a huge barn, and it's sealed from dust, and it's controlled with the environment, and it's vast, and...
Like, how big, like a... Like a 50-metre Olympic pool size?
Bigger than that, yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not very good with measurements.
It was quite a big... It's two levels.
So like a Bunnings-type situation?
Actually, that's probably not a bit more narrower and longer.
Yeah, longer.
Or at least narrower.
And it was purpose-built to house all the props.
So the thing we found interesting with the whole archives is that you're coming across things that you've seen in the books and whatever else, but you'd also come across things that featured in the films for one shot. One scene.
The T-16.
20 years later, those things are still there.
And
this was in one shot in the movie, and they've kept it. And it's just amazing how that would be the case. So we saw a lot of examples of that.
So you got played with the little T-16, the Skyhopper?
Everything.
We got left on our own. You know, Don left us, and he actually said... You know, go and have a wet dream. And he left us to it.
Go on, boys, have a wet dream.
And we did. And the problem was...
I'm picturing, like, Shane coming out of the change room in the bikini.
Well, actually, I actually came out with Michael Jackson's Captain Neo costume. I wore that.
We found that hanging around too. And there was just things everywhere. And it was a lot for your eyeballs to take in. And every time you walk around, you always saw something new you hadn't seen before. But it wasn't just Star Wars. It was also all the Lucasfilm things. So Willow, Indiana Jones.
Raiders.
All that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of mixed bags.
We're picking up the cup of a carpenter.
We actually
found five of those. Holy grails. There's
Choose wisely.
Holy grails everywhere.
So, yeah, there was a bit of gags going on, but, you know...
Did you have a drink out of it? That's to check that everlasting life thing...
I do remember something there, but, you know, it was good to go and slide out these huge matte paintings and things like this. We picked up the Ark and reenacted the scene and all this sort of stuff.
It's like you find a box, right? This gigantic box, and you go, "What is this box?" You open it up, and there's a Tauntaun head, a full scale Tauntaun head. Just like, looking back at you, and you go, "Oh, yeah, that doesn't look good."
Sounds horrific.
There were things everywhere. Like we found like an entire speeder bike just sitting there.
Wow.
And I thought, no, let's not climb on it because Shane did. As he does. And we found the chessboard, for example, just the chessboard from the Falcon. And actually, one thing we did find was like Boba Fett's backpack with damage on the back, which we hadn't seen before. I thought, that's unusual. It must have been, you didn't even see it in the film, yet they still had it. All the R2-D2s, the variations, including the one in Jedi when they shoot and all the bits pop out in one shot, and it's still there.
Wow.
With all the bits sticking out of it. It's like, far out. What a spin. Yeah,
look, we knew we were on hallowed ground.
Yeah.
And we knew it was, we were quite privileged for this to happen. And we did pinch ourselves, and, you know, this is the ultimate fanboy experience, to be let loose in the archives and play with the props and the models of Star Wars movies and the Lucasfilm stuff. So, yeah, no, we were there for a couple of days.
So I guess the question is, did you meet the great man on the grounds?
I did. A couple of times. Once I wasn't allowed to arrest him, and he walked through. That was a funny thing too, because he made the announcement that he was going to show the footage of the new Jabba the Hutt, and there was a break, and I was standing at the back, and I was wearing an Australian army hat. I don't know why, but I did. And I'm at the back, and the curtains opened, and I fell into the screen, and I said something, "Oh, God, that's fucking awesome." And I didn't realise George Lucas was next to me. And Don came up to me later and he said, "Oh, George was rather chuffed with your reaction." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Oh, he was talking about the guy wearing the funny hat and the way that he expressed himself." And, "Oh, yeah, that's me. Ha ha." Yeah, yeah. Because George wanted to come in and gauge the audience reaction.
Yeah.
Because it was its first showing. Yeah, so I think I must have given it to him.
I reckon that's pretty cool that you got to
swear in front of George.
Oh, you always wonder what you'd, you know, if you got to meet him, what you'd say, but just going, "That's fucking awesome."
But I'm saying it to the screen. Yeah. I didn't realise he was next to me, you know, so yeah.
To hear the full episode, along with hundreds of hours of bonus content, I would invite you to check out the Steel Wars Patreon page at patreon.com/Steel Wars. For just $3 a month, you get a dedicated RSS feed that easily pastes into any podcast app you use, sending the complete archives of Steel Wars episodes along with bonus Patreon exclusives like movie commentaries, Q&As, and shows like the Making Steel Wars show, which I make exclusively for Patreon members with Jason Ward of MakingStarWars.net, where we try to find the news behind the news. Plus, you'll get the bonus segments from the call-in shows, which sometimes can be over an hour. And as well as all the bonus content, you get that warm glow that you are supporting this show you listen to each week. The idea behind Patreon is if lots of people chip in a little bit of cash, that content producers such as myself can still keep producing for you guys while still being able to feed our very cute Ewok-looking cats. There's a hungry cat involved in this, guys! As well as some sweet, sweet content. Check out all the super fun tiers and all the shows you're missing out on at patreon.com/Steel Wars. And may that force be with you.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.